like a blessing from above. Red, red wine, I love you right from the start. Right from the start, with all of my heart. Red, red wine in a 80s style. Red, red wine in a modern beat style. Yeah. Till I die, and that's no lie. Red, red wine can get you on my mind. Wherever you may be, I'll surely find. I'll surely find. Make no fuss, just
welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO, and Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. Thank you for tuning in this morning, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. Thank you for making this show part of your day. Always appreciate it. We're going to do the PSA and the station identification now, so we're just going to do this now and get it out of the way. So here's the PSA brought to you by 91.5 FM, WMFO, in Medford. Stay tuned.
Welcome, everybody, and thanks for tuning in. I'm your host, Smokey Colbert, filling in for Smokey on his birthday. Because after 75 years of...
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Turns out there's much more to say. Just look at the news. Nearly 90% of wildfires are caused by us humans being careless. And I'm not just talking about obvious things like campfires or letting your totally sweet nephew, Francis, play with matches. I'm talking about dumping your used barbecue coals willy-nilly or parking your car on tall, dry grass. That can lead to poof! Guess the song was wrong. We did start the fire. But listen, being a South Carolinian, I respect Mother Nature and her trees, whether coniferous, deciduous, or new car scented. So if you love the outdoors like me, go to smokeybear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention, because fire safety is always in season. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Welcome to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO, and Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. For whatever reason, please hop in. For whatever reason, there is a massive air of confusion, which is really blowing my mind. And this is a very interesting way to start my Monday morning. So... apparently, to give the backdrop of the story, so I sent out an email saying in which that, which mics are you on? You're on four and that's three.
Yeah, we'll be on four and three.
Hold on 1 second.
Thank you.
Perfect. Right. Yeah, because I sent out an email saying that, hey, like 6 to 8 is available. Does anybody doing the show? No answer. Boom, I'm here. Wake up at 3:50 in the morning.
Oh, God.
And take the tea here from my house. Unfortunately, we have an instance in which that two very young and respectful ladies come in, and they have a show at 7. and it's not shown on the schedule whatsoever. So now, not only that, I'm a bit aggravated, but also I'm like, really? Really? So I am genuinely so sorry that you're going through this, because again, like, I had no idea it was not updated on the schedule. So my sincere apologies. So I figured, like, you know what? Let me bring you two on and whatnot. It's only fair. It's only right. And what's your name? This is my first time meeting both of you, as a matter of fact.
I'm Annabelle.
Annabelle, what's your name?
I'm Maggie.
Welcome to the Sugar Wright Show. I'm Sugar Wright himself.
Hello. I see you on the emails all the time.
fair enough. So you two lovely ladies usually have a radio show. Like, what is your radio show about? Tell the listeners.
It's just freeform chat. So we talk about our life as dual degree students here at Tufts.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So, like, Annabelle, what's your studies?
It's unclear, but probably environmental studies and fine arts. We're all fine arts students on this show.
Awesome.
And we normally have another person on, but she's sleeping.
I mean, listen, let's be completely honest. Like, doing radio at 7 a.m. is definitely a challenge.
Oh, yeah.
Especially if you're not used to being up at an ungodly hour, like 3:50 a.m.
So ridiculous. When you said that, I was like, oh my God.
No. Like, I explained it at the beginning of my show, saying, like, listen, when my show first launched back in July, mm-hmm. my show was from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. on a Saturday. So, yeah. your expressions alone told me everything I needed to know. Like, yo, yeah. So I understand. I understand completely. So how has your experience been so far as students and young pupils of knowledge on so far?
It's been
bring the mic closer. Yeah. Don't be shy. Come
Thank
on.
You. Sorry.
No worries. Go ahead.
No, yeah. It's been highly enjoyable, I'd say.
That's
I've
good.
I've enjoyed it. Yeah. Mm. And then doing the radio show has also been very fun, even though it's been early sometimes.
Yeah. We also had a 6 a.m. show last semester on Tuesdays, though. But we didn't have to get up at, like, I'm assuming 2:50 to get here at 6.
3:50.
3:50.
No, I wasn't going to walk all the way from Boston all the way here. Like, no. At that ungodly hour, no way.
Absolutely not. Yeah.
Please. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love what I do. I'm very passionate about radio. But seriously, there's no way in hell I was going to turn around and, oh, let's just walk from Brighton to Medford, Somerville. Sure. Like, that would be absolutely marvelous. Like, no, that's not going to happen. So call into the show at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. I usually talk about sports.
Oh, yeah?
On the show, yeah. Talk about all things Boston sports. I was going to talk about the Bruins and whatnot. And I don't know if you ladies, like, watch sports at all. I don't know. I'm not assuming. This is why it's an open-ended question. So, for right now, I'm going to put that onto the side. And it's going to turn into just a flat-out flat open-ended talk, and this should make for an entertaining hour and whatnot, hopefully. So I'm going to do my absolute best. So I appreciate both of you being very classy and very very respectful in terms of the situation, knowing that I really had no idea.
Oh, so, yeah. No, it's 100% not your fault. I think WMFO has, like, some sort of problem with us, but it's fine.
I have no idea. I don't know whatever that problem is. I hope it gets resolved. So,
yeah.
So, anything on your mind this morning? I mean, it's February 10th, and, I mean, seriously, it's Valentine's Day this weekend. It's on Friday. Don't get me started. What are your thoughts on that very specific romantic day? Because, like, I mean, listen, like, some people love it. Some people are like, ew, just keep me far away from it. Get me all the way from the pomp and circumstance of the day. So what are your thoughts? What is your opinion on Valentine's Day?
I'm highly neutral, I would say.
Highly neutral, that's a first. Yeah. Explain.
Yeah, I don't really have feelings one way or another. I'm not a particularly romantic person, but I'm not sure if this mic is working. I might scooch.
Is that mic 4?
Yeah.
Are you able to hear yourself? Turn up. This is...
Yeah.
Talk.
Oh, okay. Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. No, my bad.
No, you're good. Are you able to hear yourself, Annabelle?
I can hear myself, yeah.
Okay. Perfect, yeah.
Yeah, But I'm not gonna put down anybody who enjoys a good bit of Valentine's Day.
Of course.
Yeah, but yeah, it's not my particular cup of tea, I will say.
Oh man. Yeah. Oh man, how about you?
Well, I'm a particularly romantic person, but yeah. I do think that Valentine's Day commercializes and commodifies individual feelings you may have for another person. So while it's interesting and I think kind of fun and a good excuse to kind of go all out, it's also got weird capitalist undertones.
That's a really interesting point, because this country does have capitalistic undertone, but overtones even better than put. Like, I'm not, but like, we're not. This is not a political show. We're not talking politics, but it's just the fact that
very valid.
Like, but the fact that Valentine's Day is 4 days away, and I know people get weird around this time of year. This, and it's just like, oh God, stop, please. Yeah. But and I kind of pointed it out on Twitter the other day, and I was saying that, you know, why is it that we wait to a specific day of the year to express our love for someone special in our lives? And it's like, really?
Yeah.
Like, I don't get that. And what makes it worse is that if people really studied the history of Valentine's Day, like, it would be one of those things where we'd be like, wait, how did it go from a day of celebrating one's murder to celebrating love? Like, where in the middle did we like get lost in this translation? Like, please tell me. Like,
yeah.
But no. Like, I'm interested in hearing more about, like, about your backgrounds, about where you're from originally, if you're from here originally, and like, how did you first get into like radio and so forth? Like, either or. Like, you can start first. Doesn't matter. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm originally from just outside of Chicago, so...
Oh, wow!
Yeah.
Nice, what part?
I'm from the northern suburbs, I'm sorry.
Why are you apologizing? Please explain.
I always feel bad. I'm like, it's... Well, I don't feel bad. It's...
No, that's where you're from.
No, it is where I'm from. So,
yeah,
it's a nice part of Chicago. I don't go into the city all that often, but I do really like it.
Okay.
Yeah. That's it. I am into radio because I've always listened to it, I think.
Nice.
I like
nice.
NPR. I think they're
I love NPR. Like, I actually grew up in New York. I'm originally from New York City.
Oh, yeah?
Born and raised, yeah. And like, I give my father a phenomenal great deal of credit, because little did he know, he actually got me into radio. I grew up listening to a station called WBAI, Pacifica Radio, in New York City, which is still around. And NPR was also part of the programming as well. And mm-hmm. like, that's how I got my first introduction into radio, was by listening to news talk and so forth and things of that nature. So it's pretty awesome, though, to hear, like, you know, like, especially people in our generation, you know, still listen to like NPR and like informative like talk and so forth. Mm-hmm. Like, how about you?
I mean, I'm from London originally, but kind of like a fake Londoner, because I don't have the accent.
Oh, because you don't have an accent, and suddenly you're a fake Londoner.
Yeah, no. It's just that British people sometimes reject me, but it's okay.
Stop. Really?
Yeah, I mean the British just have sort of a deep-rooted hatred of Americans, so I exist.
This must be like centuries old, like hatred, like.
Oh yeah, of course. they're really holding on to it from the American Revolution.
They
still haven't gotten over it.
Oh gosh.
Yeah, so I usually like got by lying and saying that I was Canadian.
Wow. You Canadian imposter! How dare you?
Exactly.
So. So it's one of those things where here we are, especially in this climate, this time of age, where it's really fascinating to meet people from different backgrounds, like you, for me, from the Chicagoland area, you mm-hmm. being from the London area in the UK, I myself being from New York. Mm-hmm. You just have this interesting conglomerate of three different backgrounds, three different cultures, and three different ethnicities, if you will. So my question I want to ask both of you ladies is this: in terms of your radio show, because I've never listened to it, and I'm actually interested in listening to it. Perhaps if I'm being completely honest. What is the number one thing that you talk about the most that kind of gets your like your blood flowing, so to speak, like gets your passion like rising and so forth?
We talk a lot about art.
Okay.
Because it's like three art students, so we talk a lot about sort of like what we're doing on the other campus, the SMFA campus, School of the Museum of Fine Arts.
Nice.
And then sort of like how that interacts with our academic study. I don't know. That's like, we always get really passionate about that when we talk about it.
That's true. Yeah.
like what type of art like exactly do you both work on? Like, is contemporary art, or is it like art from like different eras in history? Or
I mean, we're each doing different like styles. Like, we have different approaches to making art. Like, for example, I'm currently working on like more illustration and animation type sort of things.
Okay.
And Maggie here does like cool bookmaking and like weaving.
Is it similar to like a portfolio, or is it more of like or is it just like just purely bookmaking?
It's like there's a really big thing in the artistic community right now called like artist book creation that I'm getting super into, and it's like the whole notion of making art more accessible by making it so that you can kind of purchase fine art at a bookstore for like $7. I don't know. I'm sort of really into that idea of like more accessible art, because I like to rebel against the as what all my teachers say. Like,
are you able to hear yourself, by the way?
Mm-hmm. I am. Yeah. Okay. Perfect. Yeah. I like to rebel against like the white box of museums, because it's so. I'm done with massive white rooms with like one red canvas on a blank wall.
Yeah.
More of like an actual attempt to like turn into like a colorful like personality and just get away from this whole bland like type. Gotcha.
Yeah. Like fake pedestal that a lot of artists put on. Like, did you see that like whole thing where they taped a banana to a wall and it sold for like hundreds of thousands of dollars?
I never understood how or even like why. Like, does it even, you know, for the life of me, like, sell for that much? Like, it's like saying like, oh, by the way, here's a toasted piece of bread that looks like Jesus, and we're gonna sell it for $500,000. I'm sorry, what? Mm-hmm. That same piece of bread I can just use it to toast and eat my butter toast with. Like, excuse me, please.
Yeah. Like, exactly.
Yeah. The art world, the fine art world, works in a really odd way that I don't know. I think it's so used to like valuing prestige and money over like actual art and like how art makes you feel, which is the point of art, that that it's just turned into this really weird like, let's see how much money I can throw at this ridiculous thing, because if I spend $20 million on a white canvas, then I'm pretty cool.
let me ask you this, like, Annabelle and Megan, have you ever heard of it used to be a show on PBS. I don't know if it still airs, but it used to be a show called The Antique Show, where like they would, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Where they would sell these pieces of art for, I don't even want to begin to ramble off prices. Some of them are actually really beautiful. Like, it's not even just like for art, like in terms of painting, but rather like even like sculptures and things of that nature. One thing that I've always been curious about, especially when it comes to artists, is that they tend to see the world a bit differently in terms of how what they perceive as beauty and what they perceive as, you know, this is a beautiful piece of art. Give us, the listener, an insight in terms of what is the view of the world of an artist. Obviously, they all don't think the same. But a generalistic idea of what an artist may be thinking of, or how they perceive the world at large.
Can I just say, you're really good, like, coming up with questions. Like, that was such a good question.
I sincerely appreciate that.
I'm like struggling to think of an answer.
Yeah, you're a very talented radio
radio host.
I appreciate that. Yeah.
Coming up with questions on the spot. Oh my God.
I'm flattered. Thank you so much.
Oh my gosh.
Do you want to tackle that one though?
How do I see the world as an artist?
Through the lens of an artist.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess artists have a way of like framing things in like different ways, like different objects may appear beautiful. Like I think especially for photographers, they're able to really like perceive the world as what can be beautiful, and then they make it beautiful, which is incredible. I don't know. I think there are lots of like ways to draw beauty from the small things in the world, and then use that in art, but I don't know. I'm not sure. You want to add on?
I mean, I don't know about you, but I feel like once you've sort of taken like a class in graphic design or typography, it kind of ruins the world for you a little bit.
Really? How, in what way?
I mean, I think I've developed, as a consequence of a few graphic design teachers that I've had, a sort of hatred for the font Helvetica.
Wow.
But it's everywhere. It's the font that they use for like road signs and on the backs of packages. It's kind of insane like how often you see Helvetica, but it's known for being like a bad font and like a pretty difficult to read font.
It is difficult to read.
Yeah. Really? It's like that awful like bland sans serif font.
Oh, really? Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
But yeah.
So this one's a bit more challenging because I like to ask questions that's going to provoke some kind of thought. And for me, for personal, I'm not the biggest like art aficionado, but I've always had like an intrigue of curiosity, especially like especially for two young adults who are studying art and art students and so forth. What I want to ask you is, when you like, what is the most challenging project that you've worked on so far, in which that has challenged you to not only think abstract but also challenge the very notion of what you may be used to in terms of like thinking and how you perceive different art like types and so forth?
Wow. I'm gonna let you go first.
Okay, exciting. Let me think. I think that like one of the most challenging projects that I had to do is I took a fibers and weaving class at the SMFA last semester, which my grandmother was a fiber artist and she taught like basket weaving. I thought that to honor her, I should at least, you know, like try fiber arts for my first semester at art school.
Much respect,
But I wasn't really like interested in pursuing it because it's a very specific practice and it's very time consuming.
Yeah,
weaving can take like hours. And there was a kid in my class who spent 48 hours weaving piece that was this big out of fishing
wire. Like 48 straight hours or just 48 like
like 48 straight hours. Wow. Not like 2 days. Like he was timing himself and it took 48 hours over the course of a week to do like 4 inches of weave. Yeah. But I did like as our final project we were supposed to do sort of like an abstraction of weaving, which, I don't know, it pushed me a lot, I guess. Because just already, like, hearing that sounds so, like, pretentious and, like, high art. Like, an abstraction of weaving. So, to weave something but to not use actual, like, yarn or fiber, but you had to go with something else. I ended up using text on clothing, which I, like, printed on. I screen printed, which some people in my class did not like.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I thought it was cool.
Thank you. Thank you,
Annabelle. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's the thing about art students. They're like pretty, if they don't like something that you make, they're pretty willing to tell you that they think it's...
they think it's a piece of trash?
Yeah. Yeah, that has its pros and cons that come along with
it. Would you say like artists are like the biggest... like critique. I didn't forget about you, Annabelle.
Oh,
God. Would you say that artists like the biggest critiques in terms of like the art field like liberal off fields and so forth.
Yeah. I think art kids are loud. Like they will tell you their opinions, like regardless if it's good or bad. Like if they really like something, they'll tell you that they really like it. And if they really don't like it, they'll tell you.
Yeah.
So, which I think is interesting. It creates a very like pushing the boundary sort of environment. Yeah. So everyone's like totally on the fringe. Like you go there and you're like, everyone is dressed like an insane person. But they look cool because they know that that's the way to like succeed there, I guess. So.
And to like express.
Yeah, yeah. Self-expression is a huge thing. So yeah. It's cool.
which is pretty neat. But those that just tuned in, this is the Shukri Wright Show. Joined in this morning with Annabelle and Megan due to an interesting development. And I'm actually glad this worked out the way that it did, because sometimes in life, some of the best things happen when they're not planned.
Yeah.
And this was sure as hell not planned. Like, but all in all, I'm glad we're doing this, that we're basically combining shows and whatnot. So this is definitely going to be a lot of fun on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Tusk Reform Radio. So if you are one who is used to hearing me talk about sports, and that's usually what I talk about. Talk about like sports and whatnot. I'm here to basically show the world that no, I can also talk about other things and actually ask questions and whatnot. I'm not just a silly jock on the radio. But anyway, so I'll ask you this. I don't know why I'm coming across weird in terms of the audio. I don't get it, but I don't know. Like it sounds like I'm hearing more of. Shouldn't be, but anyway, but everything's fine. No, don't worry.
don't really know how this works.
No worries. So, question for both of you, starting with you, Annabelle.
Okay.
Did you grow up a sports fan?
Did I grow up a sports fan? I am a fan of the Cubs, and that's it.
You know what? I can actually get with that.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
I'm a Yankees fan.
Of course.
I mean, being from New York, I mean,
all right.
I could have been a Mets fan, but thankfully, I wasn't stupid enough to fall in love with a bunch of freaking inept owners. But what do I know? There's that. How about you, Megan?
Not like. My family isn't a huge fan of sports, but I lived in Toronto for a little bit when I was little. So I developed, I think, a healthy appreciation for the Blue Jays, which are the only Canadian baseball team.
Yes. It used to be two, but the Montreal, but they relocated to Washington prior to the 2005 season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh. Yeah, and then also the Toronto Maple Leafs as well. Sorry.
Excuse me. I caught something in my throat right there.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Maggie, you upset him.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, no, not upset. As a healthy hatred for the Toronto Maple Leafs as a Bruins fan. I mean, this is Boston, so.
Yeah, very fair. I shouldn't be saying that anymore.
Oh, no. You're fine. You're fine. So I got to ask you this. What year are you both in? Mm-hmm. Like what year are you undergrads, grad students?
Oh, we're undergrads. We're first years.
First years.
So we're babies.
Yeah.
Oh, babies. That term. Young adults. Welcome to the adult world.
Thank you.
My pleasure. Trust me. I was once in your shoes just 10 years ago. This academic year, actually, 2009-2010. I went to Long Island University in New York. I was a journalism major.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. Thank you. And as I sit here talk to you both, it's like I can remember what it was like being a freshman, being like a freshman new to college and campus life, and it's like, oh, this is cool. Wait a minute, I don't like that. I'm gonna go that way. experimenting with different things and so forth. So, how has your experience been so far on campus?
Mm-hmm. It's been good. I like it a lot. Sometimes the food gets old, but...
Oh, man. Just don't piss off the cafeteria lady.
Oh, no, absolutely not. They're actually all very nice.
Yeah.
Good.
But they do rotate the same foods. And on our show, we have a segment where we talk about food for, like, 30 minutes.
Oh, Is that so? Okay. Yes. So since we look at that clock, we're about to hit the 7:30 mark. So for the next 30 minutes, I want to do you both even bigger favor. We're going to talk about food.
All right.
Yes.
Okay. So
what's your favorite food? Yeah. Let's hear this.
From this week, what's been your favorite thing that you've eaten and your least favorite thing that you've eaten?
Yes. And then why? Rate it on we have a scale called slaps and flaps. If it slaps, it's good.
This is going to be great.
And if it flaps, it's bad. So give us your worst and your least.
From this week, last week, wow. Well, I made at home this straight authentic from scratch. It's not, I wouldn't call it mac and cheese because I added this four cheese sauce to it. So what I do is I usually bake this pasta. Well, not bake, but boil it first because no one likes eating chip-like pasta food. But I boil it first, pour like the four cheeses, and then add a little ground chicken, season it with black pepper and, a little adobo. And throw it all together, mix it in there, mix with the different cheeses. Like, I usually get, a four-cheese blend, or sometimes I'll get, if I'm in the mood for pepper jack, and I am a crazy pepper jack fiend, I'll get that shredded, add it all, throw it all in there, put it in the oven for, 35 minutes, and it comes out slamming. Like, that's by far my favorite. Like, it just came out amazing.
Sounds so good.
It really is. And I should also add, I actually added some mixed vegetables with it. Mm-hmm. So that added, I definitely give it another kind of texture. Got a little string beans, carrots, peas, things of that nature.
Sounds good.
Oh, yeah. Well, my least favorite? Mm-hmm. Oh, man. man, I can't think of a least favorite with the exception of the fact that I despise boiled eggs.
That's so valid.
I really have a real severe disdain for boiled eggs, and it goes back to my childhood. Mm-hmm. Funny story. My father, he used to, he still does to this day. I know he still does. He'll boil these eggs and he'll just throw it on top of pita bread. And I love pita bread, mm-hmm. but never with boiled eggs and some peanut butter. And then don't get me. I love my old man, but seriously, whenever he'll give it to me, I'm just like, I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm gonna wrap it up, take it with me, and can't do it. So that for me was I have to say that's my least favorite boiled eggs. I can't do it. I can't do it. Even if that was the last thing on this earth left to eat, I'm like, nah. I'll rather just wither away peacefully. So there's that. What is, since you both are not from here locally, mm-hmm. have you both had an opportunity to try some of the local flavor in food?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually, with the other girl that does this show with us, I actually went and we got lobster rolls one day.
Oh yeah!
After
I got a story. What? From where and how did you like it?
It was, I don't know the specific place, but it was right on the water. So
was it legal seafood?
I think it was legal seafood.
That would make
Where was this? Was this in Seaport or
Seaport?
It was in Seaport. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a huge lobster fan, but
get out.
Rip.
I have to say, I enjoyed
it. Get out.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. Continue.
But I have to say, you can't really argue with just butter and seafood and bread. It's just good.
How dare you?
You can't.
How dare you? No. 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 You can't argue with that. Yes. No, please continue.
No, but yeah. I did enjoy that. I feel like that was my introduction to, I guess, classic Boston food.
I knew, yeah. How about you? I want to get back to the lobster roll in a moment. How about you, Annabelle?
I don't eat seafood, but I...
You heartbreaker!
I'm sorry. I'm a vegetarian.
You know what? Respect. I'll take that back. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I did, in my environmental policy class, we have this guy who is a baker, and he brought in he's like a lot older than us. I think he's in his mid to late 20s, but he's taking this class. And
really?
Yeah. Oh. No. Sometimes there are people like that, especially in the environmental classes. I've noticed we've had older people in all of these classes.
I love that.
It's really nice.
So they're always like so much more engaged than the 18-year-olds
who are smoky. It's so true.
Oh man.
But this man brought us cannolis. Yeah. He had these authentic Boston cannolis, and they were so good. It was the first time I'd had a cannoli.
Where was it from?
Here.
Do you remember? Or
Mike's Pastry.
Oh yeah, it's good, but it's a classic tourist trap. But continue.
Ooh. Good to know.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So where should I seek out authentic cannolis?
Mike's is good, but again, it's a tourist trap. But I personally, I would recommend go to Modern's in the North End.
Modern's in the North End.
It's also on Hanover Street.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And like you both are foodies, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
This is why I feel like I'm getting even more into my element, more than just sports.
All right.
So the first time I ever went to Modern's, it was November 2016, and it was for a Thanksgiving party. Now, this was about two and a half months before I moved there, actually. And I said, you know, I want to go get some cheesecake because I haven't really had the chance to really try cheesecake here in Boston. And Cheesecake Factory does not count.
That's so
it
true.
Does not count at all. So someone recommended that, you know, you should go to Modern's. Like, check it out. Mm-hmm. So I said, you know what? I'm going to go. I actually bought a big thing of cheesecake. It was strawberry cheesecake. I'll never forget this. Brought it to the house. Again, Thanksgiving gathering. You know, people are already chiming down on food. I'm like, guys, there's a whole Modern's cheesecake. And then I just got looks. I'm like, Modern's? You're like, I'm like, yeah. Like, dude, have you tried it? I'm like, I haven't tried it yet. Dude, try it. And I tried it. And I normally don't say this about every cheesecake that I tried. But that, by far, was one of the very best top two cheesecake that I've ever had in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who have had it that night were just raving about it. It was like, yo, thank you for bringing this because this was actually a phenomenal idea.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was just like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
So, Modern's, I would recommend, like, go this weekend if you can. Like, go to Modern's.
Right.
Like, I go there. Not just for the cannoli, but go there and try the cheesecake. I don't know if you both like cheesecake. I know you're vegetarian, but
I will eat cheesecake.
Like, cheesecake, no, this is worth it. Mm-hmm. No pressure, but so definitely that. But as for lobster roll, don't insult me. all jokes. But my lobster roll story. Mm-hmm. It was summer 2017. Mm-hmm. No, sorry, 2018. Correction. Gotta get this right. Someone who I knew at the time in was a close associate of mine. So we went up to the North Shore, which is like way, way further up north of Boston.
Mm-hmm.
This area called Rockport. And if you happen to be around in the summer, I don't know. I would strongly recommend visit Rockport. On weekends, you can take the commuter rail, the MBTA commuter rail. They have $10 all-you-can-ride pass all day Saturday, all day Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
So you can really explore, like, the greater Boston region. So I went up to Rockport, and I had went to the spot. I don't remember correct. I think it's called Rockport Bistro. I don't remember the name of it on top of my head. But I went there, and I had lobster roll, but the hot type.
Mm.
With like the butter and all the support on top of it. Took my first bite into it. It changed my life.
Oh.
And flat out it, because it was so soft and tender.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just perfect. It was like, yeah, this is the way lobster roll is supposed to be. Like, because I was given two options. Would you like it cold or would you like it warm? I'm like, no, just give it to be warm. Like, mm-hmm. I want it warm with the good old butter poured on top of it. Like, absolute must.
Oh. That sounds heavenly.
Oh, yes.
That sounds really nice.
Oh, yes, it is.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. It's like almost 7:40 in the morning. I'm making you ladies hungry. Pardon.
We haven't had breakfast yet.
Oh, don't feel bad. Neither have I, so.
Okay, good.
So,
we're all in the same boat.
So now, in terms of food, like, do you have a specific go-to, like, that you like going to the most?
Ooh, this is just dining hall food related, and Annabelle knows that I have a passion for what we call potato triangles.
They're so good.
Potato triangles.
They're in the mornings at Duke McPhee down there. Okay. Occasionally.
There's sometimes that Carm too.
Oh, that even better. they make these hash browns that are in the shape of triangles. And it's,
really? That's unheard of.
Yeah. It's kind of strange, yeah. But it has the perfect, like, fried layer to soft potato ratio.
Oh, wow.
That you could possibly have. And it's just, you bite into it, and you feel your cholesterol going through the roof, and you're so happy.
must be very heart healthy. Yeah. Sarcasm very much intended.
Yes. I could probably... Yeah. Survive entirely off of potato triangles.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. They had them
No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. You still need some kind of meat or crustacean to eat with it. Like, please.
I mean, yeah. In The Martian, Matt Damon was able to survive just off of potatoes.
Are we talking based on surviving in a movie or versus real
well,
life?
It's based off of fact.
Fair enough.
Based off of...
I trust Matt Damon. Matt Damon wouldn't
and
lie
And he's also a local guy, too, also from Boston too. So
oh,
like,
I didn't
and,
know that.
Yes.
I also didn't know that.
Yes.
Who would have thought?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, they had them yesterday, mm-hmm. and even though I went at like 2 p.m. for breakfast,
oh,
they
wow.
were still there.
Nice. It's
like, good stuff. It's so mm-hmm. good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, here on campus, we have 4 different dining halls.
Oh, yeah?
Kind of. 2 of them are all you can eat, and the other 2 are good.
Ooh, that sounds amazing.
And but only the all you can eat ones are open on weekends.
Wednesdays?
On weekends, so you don't get to go to the like actually good food places.
Oh wow!
So today, being the first weekday, I'm very excited for lunch to go to PAX, which is the Jewish deli on campus, and they have these fantastic sandwiches.
Mm.
They're so good.
Really good.
And I just am so excited to go eat.
Now, what type of sandwiches do they have?
My favorite is the chickpea salad. Mm. It's on a bagel, and it's this like it's vegan, but it's so good. You wouldn't know. You'd eat it, and you're like, this is
fantastic.
That
sounds amazing, actually. Yeah.
It's like this... like mayonnaise, chickpea, celery, onion, mash situation. It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. And my mouth is watering.
It sounds really good. It sounds really good. Plus, it's high in protein.
For sure.
Which is phenomenal.
Yeah, it's got all the nutrients that you need.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's my go-to. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
But you being a vegan, Annabelle.
Mm-hmm.
Have you had the chance to like explore like any like vegan spots around Boston? Because I know for a fact there are actual like a handful of really good ones, especially in the city.
Yeah, no, I haven't really. Most of the time, I just go to the same restaurants that my friends are going to and get the vegetarian or vegan option there.
Oh yeah.
But I found that they're really good, like, Thai places, and, like, we go to Doc Zen kind of often, which is in Davis Square.
Oh, nice.
Which is really, really good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they have this great vegetarian fried rice.
Yeah.
And...
oh, that sounds amazing.
It's so good. If you ever have the chance to go to Doc Zen,
yeah.
we go... Mm. Probably too often than it is healthy for our wallets.
Yeah.
But
I have a guilty confession to make
live
on the air, and for God knows how many people are actually listening, because you never know.
Uh-huh.
I have a guilty spot in Davis Square that I have gone to once that has suddenly have become my favorite.
Oh yeah,
you know Boston Burgers.
I feel like I've seen it before.
It's mm-hmm. right in Davis Square. Like
yeah.
when you walk. Like there's on the, if you walk on College Avenue, there's the T on the left, the red line, and mm-hmm. then when you make that right, and then you can see like that movie theater, and then like that burger spot,
yeah,
that burger spot,
that bar that's right next to JP Lex,
it's right next to mm-hmm. yeah that
yeah.
one. Oh God, I went there. Oh boy, several weeks mm-hmm. back I went there, and I had I can't remember the type of burger I had, but it was one of monstrosity proportions. Like it must have been like at least, like, well, for those who are listening, I'm trying to explain it the best way I possibly can. Imagine eating a burger that's, like, loaded with onion rings, patties, cheese. They have the option you can add bacon or no bacon. And it was just, like, the size of almost an accordion. Almost.
Oh, my God.
And it was just like, no, I'm serious. Like, it was at least, if not exactly like the size of an accordion in terms of length, but at least close to it. And it was just unbelievable. Now it was without bacon for me personally, but it was just like, yo, how did I not know about this? Like, and I could name at least 15, 20 minimum, like, places of where I would really recommend. But I'm always curious to, like, for those who, like, for those who may not necessarily live in Boston full time, to get their, like, outlook as to what are their favorite spots and any recommendations I can give and things of that nature.
That sounds so good.
It really is.
Yeah, when you said you can add bacon or not, you my mind could. Immediately went, no, you, like, you why could, yeah. wouldn't you add bacon?
well, for some people, they don't eat bacon because of religious reasons, and also, fair. Like, for that, they also may be vegan and for health reasons as well. So there's that side of the equation as well. So, but for me, and I gotta ask this because you talk about like doing a food segment, and this whole final 15 minutes is gonna be about food. What is your favorite type of food?
What's my favorite type of food?
Gotta ask.
Ooh. Well, in my family, my dad's sort of like the cook. He's the chef, and he's really into it. It's sort of like his therapy is cooking therapy.
Yeah.
But on special occasions, because we also lived in the UK for a short period when I was like 3.
Wow.
And my dad picked up a recipe for bath buns when we lived there the first time.
Bath buns? What's that?
So, yeah, Bath is like a city in the UK, and it's where the bath bun originates. It's like a...
Wow.
I'll give you a whole history lesson. It's basically just like a scone, except ignore everything you know about a scone and just imagine the perfect baked good. That is a bath bun.
I'm trying to actually visualize this in my head.
Yeah.
And I'm struggling.
It's not registering.
Sorry. it's like... Okay. A perfect dome, sort of, and it has currants in it. Some people put those like fake candied fruits in it, but that's kind of gross. So I'm not very pro candied fruit bath buns
at all.
No.
Oh, wow.
But currant bath buns, so good. You let it rise for like 48 hours, and it's just this perfect morning baked good. That's all I can say. And because they take so long to make, my dad only makes them on like holidays. Like we get them like, I guess I've been conditioned to like them because I get them on like Christmas morning and like Easter.
For sure.
My brain like, I guess, automatically associates bath bun time with like present and candy time from like my childhood days. But bath buns are so good.
That's awesome.
Like
phenomenal.
A dinner roll? Like, is it soft?
It's soft. Okay. It's soft.
So it's like absolutely not scone-like.
Yeah.
At all.
No, not at all. Wait, are scones hard?
Yeah. At least in the U.S. they are.
Oh. And usually they're like...
They crumble.
They crumble. Like, yeah. But like if you put it in like a microwave, it softens up just a little bit. But it doesn't come like rubberish unless you purposely leave it in there for 5 minutes. But like if you leave it like maybe 45 seconds, it gets a little soft, but it comes but it's so good. Scones are amazing.
Yeah. It's like a scone, except it's in between a scone and a dinner roll, I'd say.
Okay.
It's like a very dense bread.
Yeah.
And then the ones that you can get in Bath, it's also like a complete tourist trap. So, but
oh man,
it's like Sally's Bath Buns, which is supposed to be where bath buns originated, and the ones that you get there are like as big as your head.
Oh wow,
they're massive and they're subpar. But do it for the experience.
Brutal review of Sally's Bath Buns.
It's also like 20 pounds for like a bath bun, which is ridiculous.
That's
so much money.
When you said that, it reminded me of, I can't remember the name of the show, but the show where basically we like it would be like be this massive size burger where it's like almost 15-20 pounds, like large. You can YouTube it. I'm serious. Mm-hmm. Like I've seen it in person. I'm like, yo, I know I'm a man who can eat, but I'm like, I'm not sure if I can eat that. Like, so you say 20 pound like bath on bath bun. I'm like, what?
No, 20 pounds is in like you pay like $20 for it. Sorry.
Well, thank you for clarifying that after the fact. I didn't realize you were talking about currency.
Sorry, I should have clarified.
And what makes it worse is the fact that is the fact that I actually have family who live in the UK. So it's like I know, and like I'm very familiar with like the pound. But I'm like, really?
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about actual weight, but
that's very bad.
Pay me no mind, but. But like, so what about you, Annabelle? What's your favorite type of food?
I also really like baked goods, but I'm also a good fan of like a good like stew type, soup type dish of any kind. My mom makes really good, or actually my dad makes it. They both make it every once in a while.
Yeah.
This black bean chili, which is delicious. You just load it up with like different types of beans, especially black beans. You put in a bunch of veggies, put a lot of seasoning and spice in it, and it's just delicious. It like makes your nose run. You eat it. It's just and I'm thinking about it. I really want some.
And
I also really like a good like lentil like soup, like cream lentil, green onion.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Mm-hmm. I just really want good soup. They don't give us good soup here. Mm-hmm. And it's so sad. It's all so thin.
Oh, wow.
Like, sometimes they do a grilled cheese and tomato soup day here.
Oh, wow. And
you would think that's really nice, but the soup is not creamy. So it's...
Is it? I'm going to try to describe this texture the best way. So is it one of those that are just really lumpy and just really like...
Yes.
They're just all over the place? Or is it like one of the... Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Gotta like blend everything and like make sure everything is like creamy. But instead it's like warm gazpacho almost.
It's sort of like they've opened up like canned tomatoes and just like poured it into a pot and heated it up.
Yeah.
And then like the tomato water is the soup.
You're so right.
I'm really, really good with that.
It's
sad.
My mom also makes this very good tomato soup and it's so creamy and nice. And she sent me, or she didn't send me, when she came to visit last semester, she brought me like a Tupperware of I ate it all. It was so good. But I miss good soup. In conclusion.
I'm sort of very interested, since you like usually talk about sports and are obviously a huge fan of like Boston teams.
Except the Red Sox.
The Red Sox. Yeah. That's valid. as like new Bostonians, what are your like hot tips for getting involved with Boston sports, and who should we support? And like,
I would say, all right. In terms of that, I would say like the Bruins, because like hockey is such a huge thing here, and it's funny because like I started this campaign just a couple of days ago, in which that the local sports radio stations don't talk about hockey as much as they should. They talk about it, but it's like here and there. But it's like, really, we have a team that's right now on top of the NHL in terms of like, I mean, first overall out of 31 teams, they're number one in terms of standings, and they're not getting the coverage and the discussion as they deserve. And I said, you know what? No, I'm going to tap into a hungry Boston Bruins market of hockey fans who are who actively care so deeply about the teams that I'm here to talk about it. And even I'll go as far as say, hey, go to a game, walk around by the garden, like on game days. In fact, there's a home game on Wednesday night, against our number one rival in the Montreal Canadiens. I gotta tell you, here in Boston, when Montreal is in town, the city gets pretty intense, especially when it comes to Bruins and Canadiens. Like it's bad. Like, even as a Bruins fan, I sit here, I can feel like the goosebumps. Like, I'm just like, no.
Yeah.
But with that being said, the Bruins definitely. The Patriots, I will say this. on the Patriots, or just they are like New England's team by far. I mean, like it's number one. It's like it's basically is religion,
mm-hmm. yeah.
in more ways than one. Where like Sundays during the NFL season, like you see, and I'm sure you've had to have seen it like during like, last semester, mm-hmm. Where like you see a bunch of walk around in Patriots gear and like mm-hmm. in jerseys, like on Sundays or Mondays or whatever day that they're playing. It's mm-hmm. it's just it's religion.
Yeah.
You know, and whatnot. So it's one of those things where it's like, oh my gosh, mm-hmm. like for real? Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like so Bruins, Patriots, Celtics, like, I mean, I'm a Celtics fan, but like I feel like the Celtics are the third team that I'm most passionate about. Like mm-hmm. but for me, Bruins, Pats in this city, and the Celtics are like third.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say, like, definitely like those three for sure. I mean, the Red Sox, you don't want to be associated with a bunch of cheaters.
I know
I just pissed off quite a few people saying that, but I don't care. So I would definitely say, like, those three for sure. For sure, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But if you like baseball,
mm-hmm.
I love baseball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I feel like we have to go see a Bruins game.
It's must see because mm-hmm. it's great to watch on TV, but I can tell mm-hmm. you for a fact, like, it's way better.
Yeah.
And especially now with the renovations, mm-hmm. like phase one of the renovation of mm-hmm. the garden being done, it's amazing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And hockey is like just, it's such a fun sport to watch in person because everybody gets so into it. And also it's like, I don't know, as somebody who's not good at ice skating, it's just like amazing to watch these people genuinely, like, it looks magical.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. Like, mm-hmm. I would recommend going because, mm-hmm. like, one, I mean, as a longtime Bruins fan, the person who also on the side, fun fact, I also work at the Garden, and working for both the Bruins and the Celtics as well as for the building.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's magical. Like, I mean, mm-hmm. and then the atmosphere for Bruins game is just crazy. Like, mm-hmm. Every night it's a sellout. Like,
yeah.
Every home game it's a sellout for the Bruins. And the support in the city is just magical.
Yeah.
You know, it just is.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I would definitely say those three for sure.
Mm-hmm.
For sure, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Some good advice.
Exactly.
Definitely.
Yeah, definitely check them out.
One last thing before we wrap up. Mm-hmm. Tell listeners, for those who may not be familiar with your show, what days your show is on, and like what is the hours and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. We are Mondays from 7 to 8 a.m. Mm-hmm. and we talk about life as dual degree students on Tufts. So we talk about our lives at School of the Museum of Fine Arts and as liberal arts / sciences students here,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and how that intersects, and the culture, the food, and our friendship. We do it with me, Maggie, and our friend Emma, who is not here today. But
mm-hmm.
tune in if you're interested. It's also sometimes funny.
Sometimes.
It's about a 50-50
That's hilarious.
Chance that you'll get a funny episode.
Oh, man. You gotta mm-hmm. give yourself credit, you know, like more often. Come on.
It's often funny.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Mm-hmm. But, mm-hmm. but what was I about to say? Okay. Yeah, so Monday, 7 to 8 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
I'll definitely have to tune in sometimes for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't thank you guys enough mm-hmm. so much for this morning, as mm-hmm. as crazy as it was mm-hmm. and unexpected as it was, mm-hmm. but this turned out to be a pretty fine way to start my Monday.
Yeah, this was
very
a
fun.
Sure. Awesome start to my week, I must say. Thank you so much for being accommodating
and friendly.
No, my pleasure.
I know you were like stepping in on your radio time, especially when you got up at 3 to get here.
I appreciate the understanding, but mm-hmm. But no, it was the least that I could do.
Mm-hmm.
So, but no, like much appreciated. I wonder who's coming up next. Someone is coming up next, as a matter of fact. So let's look at the schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of give this the next show a little bit of a shutout. Looks like your dual degree hour, that was supposed to, is that your show or?
Yeah.
Looks like you're scheduled for 8 a.m.
Oh, man.
I'm serious. Yeah. Like, unless some other person walks in, but it does look like your schedule for, like, I mean, I don't know if you guys can see it here. But.
This is strange.
Oh, yeah. We are scheduled for 8 a.m.
Are you serious?
I'm not joking. I'm serious.
Okay.
That could be good.
That yes. Mm-hmm. However,
Emma has
on the spreadsheet that they sent out, we are 7 to 8.
That's weird.
Yeah. I'll email. Who's the new scheduling? It's not Talia anymore.
No, it's someone else.
Yeah. Scheduling is Lily.
Okay.
She's our trainer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Great.
She was the one who like got us in for scheduling, right?